Now listen to part of a lecture on the topic you just read about.
The first and most fundamental step to take when studying an entity or phenomenon is to define it, right? Right. Starting with a definition ensures that there actually is something there to be studied, and provides a certainty of what exactly it is being studied, and by extension, what is not being studied. Let's begin, then, by examining some of the aspects involved in the definition of society. A society involves a geographic area, like the United States or the world, for example. Though a society can exist on a much smaller scale, like a local community. A society also involves a distinct identity. By this, I mean that the individuals within the geographic area view themselves as a society. The people attending this university identify themselves as part of the student body here. Our common place of study gives us a common identity as members of this school. So, place is the first aspect we use to define a group, a social group. A big social group we'll call a society. A society also involves a common government that sets and monitors rules, under which the people in the society abide and coexist. At a national level, this is pretty easy to imagine. The society in any given country is under the rule of the national government. But there are also state governments, city governments, and our university even has a kind of governing body, doesn't it? As you might guess, things that we study in sociology are not always as cut and dry as you might think at first. So, going back to our definition of society, next we should talk about language. Members of a particular society share a common language, through which they can communicate. It would be kind of hard for a society to function if its members couldn't communicate with each other. It is interesting to note that, in the U.S., we don't actually have an official national language. Most official business is conducted in English. So even though it's not the official language, it's the accepted common language here. And lastly, a society also shares common traditions, customs, and beliefs. Though sociologists are beginning to question the accuracy and relevance of these last few aspects. So, now that we have our definition, we can examine just what this force, society, actually does. For one, it organizes individuals into a system aimed at obtaining the things they need for survival. It does this by giving us guidelines for behavior, as mentioned in the definition. These guidelines serve two chief functions. First, they satisfy certain social needs, and second, they prevent conflict among the members of the society. Thus, we have laws, some of which are unwritten taboos, that define and control relationships between women and men, adults and children, teachers and students, etc. In addition, we have laws against theft, violence, and other issues that could potentially create strife. All right. With all of this in mind, I think we are ready to start thinking about society in a more systematic way.